jail tomorrow. Anybody want to go to jail? She calls me this last week and says, I'm on my way to prison. I said, you going to jail? So I'll tell you, some amazing things have happened. I want you to share those two things.
Yes.
But that's why we want to give into this ministry. I'm pretty strong personality, as you know, but I don't know if I could do the prison like she does. I just, you know, the compassion that has to flow to these women, it's a very, very special anointing that God has placed upon you. And we love you. God bless you.
I love you. Pastor Ina, whom I call Mama Ina, asked me last night when I was sharing about in April, I had an extremely busy month. I had 12 engagements I had to be at, and it was a very busy month. And in the midst of it, I went into Leith Correctional, which is a prison that holds up to 1,000 women. And they had invited me in for two services. The enemy always does warfare against the work of God. You wonder why your families have been hit? Because the enemy doesn't like you. You wonder why your children have been hit? The enemy doesn't like you. It shows you you're doing the right thing, because we know we win. 1 Corinthians 15:57 said he always gives us victory. Always gives us victory. So I went to Leith Correctional. Rebecca not only is the executive director of Transformed by the Word, handling all the staff and employees for us, but she travels into prisons with me. And so we went up to go into this prison, and we, of course, drove up the night before. It's a five-hour drive from my home. And we woke up the next morning. I was getting ready to go into the prison to preach with my coffee early morning, looking at my notes. And I remember just thinking something felt funny. All of a sudden, the phone rings, and it is the chaplain of this huge prison. And he said, we're going to have to cancel today's service. I was like, okay, God's in control. And he said, the warden is not here, so we are going to have to do that. And I looked at Rebecca. I said, well, we're not going to be moved by this. I said, we're never moved by anything that happens, because God always wins. We got there the next morning when the chaplain told us to get there, and we had no idea, but he had told us the wrong time to get there. We were 5 hours early for a service. And in prisons, every minute of that day is laid out for those women. So once we realized we were early, they checked us in, and they said, just wait in here for the warden. And I remember Rebecca and I looking at each other as we were waiting in the large area that they had placed there and chairs out for the women to come gather. And I said, baby girl, God's got this. I'm not moved by any of this. And so the warden came in, and you could tell that she was full of the Holy Ghost. When I laid eyes on her, she was the associate warden. I don't know if they are waiting on a new warden. She looked at me, and she said, Reverend Costell, she said, today I am going to rearrange the entire prison schedule to make sure the women are able to come to this service. That you better praise God about, because when you rearrange a whole day in a huge maximum security prison, that is a lot of shuffling. And what was amazing, when we waited for the women to get there, when they were walking into the room, you could feel the expectancy. And they kept having to add chairs because there were not enough chairs. We were combining two services into one service, and the women were so expectant. And I remember when I picked the mic up, I could feel the power of the Holy Spirit hit me at a level that I had never felt before, because of the warfare to get to that point in that prison this day. And whenever I preached the word, the women were sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for the next word. And then when I presented salvation, we just are estimating that 150 women came to Jesus Christ in that service. Could have been more easily. But look at God. He will take care of you. He loves his women, whether they're behind bars or they're in a church. He loves his women wherever they are. And the power of God and the women were just praising God. And the Holy Spirit hit so strongly, you forget you're in a big maximum security, don't you, Rebecca? Because he shows up. It is amazing to see God work. And I thank River of Life. I do feel like I've come home. You were the first church that partnered with Transformed by the Word Ministries. Now we have other churches, but you were the first. So I believe you are mightily blessed. And you remember here, God pours his blessings upon you, because Matthew 25, 36 distinctly says that we are to go into the prisons. And when you plan into our lives and our ministry like River of Life does, then you get the blessings and you get the rewards that the ministry gets. And we've seen thousands of women inmates come to Jesus Christ. So hallelujah, I told that story, and thank you. That's why when I go into churches and I present an altar call, I get so excited, and we're seeing so many people come to Christ in the church lately. It is amazing what is happening in our nation. Look at your neighbor, say, revival's hit us. Romans 13:7 makes very clear that we are to give honor where honor is due. I bring you greetings from my husband, Big Daddy, I call him, and I do love my husband now. I love, love, love my husband. I say, sometimes I'm shouting for Jesus, and sometimes I'm shouting for the man that Jesus gave to me. Amen? Amen. But I honor, of course, Pastor Dave, who's in heaven. As I was sitting on the front row, I was so shocked that I felt like he was standing beside me. And he was just smiling. He was so happy of what is going on in this church. And he is so proud of you, Pastor Ina. You are indeed a powerful leader. And I honor you. You are the shepherdess of this house. You are the prophet. You are the Deborah that when people follow you, you are always, always going to lead them into victory in the name of Jesus Christ. The anointing of power, the mantle of pastor is upon you. And I thank God that you are the leader of River of Life. And God has given you so many other pastors to stand along beside you. Let us stand to our feet and honor the mother of this house today. I've already blessed her with a special gift. And I thank God that you all bless your mother. Bless the mother of this house. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, don't you sit down. I want you to give Jesus Christ the biggest round of applause that you could ever give him. He is the great I am, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Healer, our Restorer, Jesus Christ, the only God, the living God, the Son of God. The only way to be born again and get to the Father is through the majestic name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Daddy, as we're standing, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, on Mother's Day, I always am full of joy because you gave me the opportunity to be a mother and heal my mind and gave me my life back. And I praise you, God. Holy Spirit, I just ask for a double anointing as my husband prayed over me this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you use my vocal cords for your glory only. Let me say what you would have me to say and not say anything you would have me not to say. I trust you and I love you, Lord. Anyone in this house this morning that does not know you, Lord Jesus, let your spirit draw them and let their ears be open to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bless the families gathered here today in the name of Jesus. You know every need that's in this house today, God, whether it's mental, physical, financial, or spiritual, God, you know the needs in this house today. I asked you to meet every need, God. I thank you that you even meet the desires of our hearts here today. And I praise you for the word that you have sent me with today. A word I've never preached on a mother, God. And I thank you for every mother in this house. I praise you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You are saying, so be it. Let it be unto me. Happy Mother's Day to you all. We're very familiar as we celebrate Mother's Day in this nation that President Woodrow Wilson made it a national day to honor women May the 9th, 1914. I used to be a history teacher, and I thought there's just not any way a man came up with this. There has to be a woman behind this somewhere. So I did a little bit of research on Mother's Day, and it was two women. Ann Reeves Jarvis helped start Mother's Day Work Club in the 19th century pre-Civil War. And the Mother's Day Work Club was to help train women to be mothers as they should. And then we have another woman, Julia Howe. In 1870, she wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, which was a call for women all over the world to cause people to unite in peace. That's just like a woman, isn't it? Who's the peacemaker in your house? Mama. Who sets the tone in the house? Mama. So women of God, you got a high call by God to have peace in your house. We have a saying in the South, and it is, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a happy mama. That's right. We're women of God. We have joy. No matter what's going on, we have joy as the women of God. The Holy Spirit has sent me with a word of encouragement to all mothers here today, and in fact, all people of God that are gathered here today. We shall look at a powerful woman, and she doesn't have a name. In the Bible, she's called the Shunammite woman. So I believe when a woman is not named in the Bible, you can put your name where her name is. This is a beautiful role model, the Shunammite woman, and it teaches us to stand when the enemy tries to destroy our children and to stand for God's restoration in our houses. Who needs the enemy to back off your children in the name of Jesus? Who needs restoration in their house of what the enemy has stolen? Put your hand up today. This message is for you. The title of the message is The Heart of a Mother. I often think of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross when he was dying for all the sin of the world. But his last concern was for his mother. He looked at John, and you can find this in John 19 in 25 through 27 verses there. And he said, behold your mother. Jesus himself was concerned about his mother. Also, we see that the Lord reminds us to honor our fathers and our mothers. So mothers are not only dear to children, but mothers are very, very dear to God himself. Stand to your feet as we read the powerful word of God. I tell women in prison, and I'm so amazed at women in prison, I'll start saying a scripture, and I cannot tell you the times when they finish it. They are getting full of the word of God, and that is why revival and signs and wonders are hitting the prisons all over America as we speak. But the most powerful thing you will ever hold in your hand is the word of God. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I will be reading verses 17 through 20. And 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, I will be reading verses 1 through 3. I think about my own mother, Velma Balan, that took me in and taught me the word of God. I honor her with all of my heart. She trained me well in how to stand in a pulpit, how to give out the word of God to people. She was one of the most powerful preachers I've ever sat under. And she always said, preach the word, teach the word, make sure you get people full of the word, because the word of God is what's going to change their lives. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 17. But the woman, this is the Shunammite woman, conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to the father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, the father said this, carry him to his mother. Isn't that something? A man knows who to get them children to. A godly mother that will never give up on a child. Never give up, no matter what it looks like. And the mother went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him. The scripture just said he sat on her knees till noon and died. And she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Flip your Bible forward to 2 Kings 8. 2 Kings 8. I will be reading verses 1 through 3. Then Elisha spoke to the Shunammite woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. You may be seated. Let me give you the context of the scripture I've read this morning. We are in Israel in the city of Shunem. And within this city, there is an elderly man and a notable woman. I love that's King James says notable woman. You want to know what notable means? It means a woman that is very influential. It means a very wealthy, affluent woman. So we had an elderly man and a notable woman living in the city of Shunem. And Elisha the prophet would walk through the city of Shunem as he was traveling to do his duties as the prophet of Israel. And this woman, the scripture says she's persuaded him to come into her house so she could fix him a meal. Persuaded him. In fact, she was like, please let me fix you a meal. Please let me tend to you. What she was doing is she wanted the prophet of God to sit down at her table and to be up in her house. And he was so moved by her blessing him. And when he went through the city of bringing him into her house and giving him food and taking care of him. And the scripture says that the woman said to her husband, I see this is a holy man of God. And shall we build a room for him that when he is coming through the city, he can stay over our house. She built an upper room over her house so the prophet could stay there. Well, Elisha was so touched by her generosity, because this woman wasn't given to get a blessing. She was given because she just loved God. If you're given to get a blessing, hold it to yourself and say, God, I just want to give because you've been so good to me. God will bless you, but you give unto God because of the goodness in your life. And Elisha was so touched by this. He sent his servant and he said, this woman has been so good to me. See what she needs. And he said, call her. And Gehazi went and got the Shunammite woman and he called her. And he said to Gehazi, ask her what she needs. And the Shunammite woman said, I dwell well among my people. She was saying, I don't need anything. I am blessed of God. And then he said to Gehazi, what do you think she needs? And he said, her husband is old and she doesn't have any children. And he said to her, he decreed and declared, when you're a prophet or you're under a prophet and they decree over your life, you can count on it coming to pass. And he said, by this time next year, you shall hold a son in your arms. And she indeed had a son, just like the prophet decreed and declared over her. Look at your neighbor, say, I love to be decreed and declared over by a prophet. I love in this scripture that we notice the heart of this mother. She wanted to have the anointing of God himself upon her house. As Christian women in today's society and globally seeing the darkness rolling in from the enemy as we are entering the dark times, I am telling you, mothers, listen closely. You have to have the anointing of God upon your home. You need to be careful what comes into your homes. I don't care what your children want to play. If it's against God, you are the head of your house, men of God in here. And mothers, you can deal with that situation. Don't you let anything just come into your house. And when you go to bed at night, don't just leave your TVs playing. That's bringing things in your house. Be careful what comes in the airways over your house. Be careful what is said in your house. Many, many times, I will put on YouTube and put 12 hours of live healing scriptures or the word of God flowing into my house. I want the anointing of God upon my house as a mother, and I do not play around with that. Because the anointing of God is the only thing that's going to protect you. The anointing of God is the only thing that's going to heal you. The anointing of God is the only thing that's going to break generational curses off your houses. The anointing of God is the only thing keeping your marriages together. Come on now. The anointing of God will bring your children back from the enemy's land. The anointing of God will heal your body, heal your mind, get your money back. The anointing of God will take care of what you can't take care of. Look at your neighbor, say, make sure the anointing is over your house. This woman was enjoying the blessings of God. And I can just see her as she told her son to go out with his daddy. Go out, it's reaping time, it's harvest time. Go out in the fields with him and see the blessings of God. And when he was out there, all of a sudden, as I read in the scripture, it says that he looked at his daddy and he said, my head, my head. Theologians say that he could have had a heat stroke that day. And he said, take him back to his mother. And as we read, he sat on his mother's lap and he died. But see, this was a mother that knew the promises of God. This was a mother that knew the word of God. This was a mother that had the anointing of God over her house. What you got over your houses, people of God? I can't let it go. What is over your house today? You can't let anything come up in your house because you will face a tragedy living on this earth, and you better have the anointing there. And she took that child and he died. Sarah, honey, he was dead. And she picked him up and she walked up those stairs and she laid him on the prophet's bed because she knew it would take the anointing to bring this baby back. She wasn't moved by anything because the prophet had prophesied this child into her life and God had given her a word, so she wasn't moved. She went to the field. She didn't say to her husband, our child just died and fell apart. She said, give me a donkey and give me a servant. I'm going to the house of God, Mount Carmel. See, women of God, when things hit your house, you don't back off from coming to a house like River of Life. You get yourself under the anointing. You come here and cry out to God to meet your needs. He said, why are you going to the prophet? It is neither new moon or a festival. Why are you going? She said, it is well. What she was saying to him is, everything's okay. Don't you worry, baby. God's got this. She didn't even make a flinch. He didn't know that his son had just died because God had given the promise to her. The prophet had spoken to her. theologians have tried to study this man, and they said that they don't believe he was a great man of God, or the prophet would have spoken to him. But he spoke to the mother. But that man knew who to take that child to, didn't he? He had respect over his wife. Now, I thank God, River of Life is full of men of God. I can look at your faces and tell that you love God and that you surrendered your life to him. But this is Mother's Day. Come on now. We're about the women today. This heart of a mother placed her child on the anointing, no matter how bad it looked. She wasn't moved by how bad it looked. Don't be moved by your child that's standing in generational curses and it looks like the enemy has taken their life. Don't be moved by your child that hasn't stepped in his or her destiny yet, because Psalm 112 verse 2 distinctly says that our seed, that seed is our children, shall be great and mighty upon this earth. So she was not moved. And I loved her response after the death of her child, taking that donkey and that servant, headed to Mount Carmel. And when Elisha looked and he saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, go and see what's going on. Go and ask her what's going on. Is it well with her husband? Is it well with her son? Is it well with her? And when Gehazi, the servant of God, went to her and asked this question, she said, it is well. You don't need to be telling your issues to people that don't represent God. You don't need to be putting your children down to people that are not, don't understand how to cry out on behalf of your children. Don't be telling just a measly servant when you can go to God himself. In the Old Testament, it said that it is understood those prophets represented God himself. So that woman was getting to Mount Carmel. She bypassed Gehazi and went straight to Elisha, fell down at his feet and asked him to come home with her. And he was sending Gehazi. He said, I'll send Gehazi. I'm going to send him with my staff. And she said something he remembered. He said to Elijah himself, she says, as the Lord lives, I will not leave you today until you come to my house. And he said, I got to go. She just talked my language. I understand. She understands. And it's such a beautiful story, because when he got there, don't you know how moved he was that she had placed that baby on the anointing? That she had placed that child on his very bed. Because I can assure you, she didn't just show up in that room. That was a sanctified, holy room. And when he went there, he probably said, where's the son? And Gehazi said, I haven't found him in the house. I think she's put him upstairs. And so he went there, and she had taken that dead child and laid him on the anointing. Mothers, what is dead in your life today? Are the relationships that you have with your children, are they dead? God says, put them on the anointing. Does your marriage need a little pep in its step? Put it on the anointing. Are your finances acting like they're dead today? Tithe and put it on the anointing. What is dead in your life? Be like the Shunammite woman and place it on the anointing. And Elisha raised that child from the dead. Raised that child from the dead. And the Bible says he presented this child back to his mother. She didn't just grab that baby. Before she grabbed that baby, the Bible says she fell and she worshiped God himself. Let me tell you, before you get your biggest breakthrough in your life and you have the dead come back in your house, you've got to learn how to worship God Almighty. You've got to learn how to praise him and understand that he is the great I am. He puts the sun up every day and the moon goes up every night. And in Jeremiah, it says, if you can cause the sun not to come up, then I will break my promises over you. I'm paraphrasing. God has got everything that you need. But you got to get in his family. You got to get in his family. It is so beautiful that there he is, alive, running around, growing, And I bet he told his daddy, I just put myself all up in the scripture. I bet that day he ran out to his daddy and said, "Daddy, I died today and I'm back." He was like, "What? Mama laid me on the prophet's bed. I woke up and the prophet was there." He said, "Oh, no wonder she went to Mount Carmel today." See, you can pray about a situation, women of God, and then go and give your husbands a praise report. Come on now. I'm telling you, God will do it for you. Well, there he was growing up, and a few years later, you can tell that this woman still had a relationship with Elisha the prophet, because he told her, "There is coming a famine in the land. God's judgment is against Israel. They were worshiping other gods. They were committing child sacrifices. And the judgment of God hit." And he said, "There's going to be a 7-year famine." He said, "After 7 years, at the end of 7 years, you can come back." But he said, "Take your household, take everything you have and leave. Go wherever you can find a place, because there is a coming, a famine." This was a wealthy woman. It would have been very tempting for her to say, "But you don't understand, I've got one of the biggest farms here in Shunem. I am very well taken care of. We've got this. We've got plenty of food. We have plenty of money. I think I'm just going to stay." But see, this woman of God understood the power of spiritual leadership over her. When that prophet told her to leave, the Bible says she packed up. She told her husband. She took her son. And in fact, she went to live in the land of the Philistines. She was obeying the prophet. The Philistines were the enemy of God, but she knew she was covered even in the enemy's land because the prophet had told her to do this. What does this mean to our lives today? Women of God, I need you to hear this, because you can understand in this story that women have a lot of influence in their homes. You must not get from under the spiritual covering that you have been blessed by. You must stay under that covering so you can stay under the protection of God himself. You can't get out from under covering in this world today. Don't you be a church hopper. You hop here, let cement hit your feet, and stay here under this covering in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor, say, "Don't leave your covering. Don't leave your covering." I know people get a touch from God and they walk in everything Pastor Dave or Pastor Ina says over them, and they start feeling themselves a little bit. They think they all that in a bag of chips. Let me tell you something. You better not leave your covering, and you better obey God through his leaders over you. I come out of a religious cult. I understand controlling leaders. I understand leaders that don't really care about you. Without a doubt, you are under one of the most compassionate, powerful leaders you could ever be under here. You don't understand the times that I needed wisdom from God, and I was in a transition and transformed by the word. I would call Pastor Dave and Pastor Ina. They would take time and they would pour into my life. At that point, we were only in 4 states. At that point, we haven't become a national prison ministry. At that point, I wasn't preaching in arenas and on big national stages, but I listened to them. I obeyed them. I did what they told me. We are in all 50 states with Bibles and 4 of my books. Literally gave over $500,000 into prisons last year. Don't ever let the enemy steal you from under your spiritual covering. It could be the death of things in your house. She listened. She obeyed. And I love the end of this story. You think, well, it can't get better than her son coming back. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. When the end of 7 years hit, I can see her say, "Okay, on the wall, this is it. This is the end of 7 years. This is 7 years to the day. And I am going to obey what the prophet said." I can see her husband as he was well taken care of by his enemies. He said, "Baby, you say to go, we're going to go. I know you hear the voice of God. Yes, men are the head of their household. You come up in my house, Dave Costell is the head of my household. But Dave Costell knows, Jennifer Costell hears what God says and has seen year after year. You are blessed to have a mother now with the mantle on her life to lead you. And this woman at the end of 7 years, she went, and the Bible says you can study this 8th chapter, and she went to appeal to the king. She knew she had heard from God when she saw the line before the king and people were asking for their land back. People were asking for their houses back because in a famine, other people had taken over their lands. And so she saw the lines to the king and she got in line with her son. Got in line with her son. Now, we're going to give the man of God a break. He could have been very, very, very old by this time. If he was elderly in the 4th chapter, by the 8th chapter, he was probably very elderly. So she said, baby, you just stay here and rest. We're going to go to the king today, and we getting our house back. We getting our lands back. We're going to get everything back that from the enemy stole. And he blessed her to go and do it. She's standing in line. She's waiting to talk to the king, and God was setting her up. I don't know what you women of God in this house today have need of, but God says you're in the midst of a setup. You're in a midst of a setup where God is going to take care of your children. God's going to take care of your family. God's going to give you back 7 times whatever the enemy stole out of your life. Proverbs 6:31 is a scripture that says when a thief is found, he's got to give it back 7 times to you. This woman waiting in line, being patient, and she had no idea that the king had called Gehazi that day. And he was talking to Gehazi. And he was saying to Gehazi, he said, tell me about Elisha. He said, I want to hear about the miracles that Elisha has performed. Tell me what's been going on with Elisha. And Gehazi's telling him. And he says, he raised a dead child. He raised him from the dead. He did this. He did that. But Gehazi was stuck on that child that came back to life, because that is a miracle nobody can deny. And I can just see Gehazi, and he's talking and walking, and the king's just listening, holding up the whole line, I'm sure. And he happened to look, and in the line was the Shunammite woman. And he said, there she is. There's the woman that Elisha raised her son. And he said, wait a minute, there's her son. And the king said, call her up here. I want to talk to her. And he said, tell me about that miracle. Tell me about what God has done for you. You never know as a mother what you're doing when you're talking about how God has touched your children. You never know the impact you're having on other people when you're giving testimony of, let me tell you what God has done. I've done it in the grocery store. I've done it. People talking about, Jennifer, what's happening in your ministry? I said, how long you got? Because I'm so blessed, I don't even know what to do sometimes. God is doing so much. And the king listened to her testimony. And he was so moved by her testimony that he did something I'm sure the city of Shunem would never get over. He heard her testimony. Thank you, God. Keep on testifying, mothers, about what God has done for your children. Keep on testifying about what God's going to do for your children. Keep on decreeing and declaring and telling the goodness of God. And that king said to the Shunammite woman, hey, he said, officer, over here now. He said, come over here. I say he was a case manager for her. And he said, give her back her house. Give her back her lands. He said, and all that would have been produced on her land for 7 years, give it back to her. Give her all the money. Give her her house. Give her her farm. God has done something mightily. What does that say for you? It's Proverbs 6:31. It says he'll give you seven times. We as the people of God don't need to be whining, complaining, moaning, and groaning like we don't have nothing going on. If the enemy stole from you, write out a declaration. Put it up on your refrigerator, because I don't know about you, but I'm in the refrigerator a little bit much. But put it on your refrigerator and say, God has promised me seven times. See, a lot of prophets are saying we are getting ready to have a transfer of wealth. We are getting ready to see things that's going to shock other people. We are getting ready to show up to dealerships. Come on now, I'm going to make it personal. And you showing up to a dealership, this has happened to me, and a check has already been written to pay for the nicest thing on the lot. God can do that for you. God can pay your house off. God can give you back seven times what the devil has stole from you. Mothers, you have a special place to God himself. Women of small children. Wait a minute. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting my stuff back. Come on now. Time seven. Time seven. Because God loves to bless his people. We are not beggars. We are children of the King. That woman was called before the King. And God had a case manager. Angels can be your case manager. Out of nowhere, your child, your grandchild get the scholarship. Out of nowhere, your husband gets the promotion. Out of nowhere, a case manager assigned by heaven allows you to get to be where God's going to show you. You never know where case managers are. But when you serve God, they're going to show up. We were leaving the Boston prison recently, Rebecca and I, and thank God we have sky priority, so we get to go up in the line. And I said, oh, Rebecca, this is a mighty long line in Boston. I said, thank God for priority. I said, baby girl, it pays to serve Jesus. And so we get up there, and, you know, Homeland Security, you go where they tell you to go. Can I get a witness? You don't say, well, I'm with my daughter, I'm going to go there. They put Rebecca in that line. They put me in this line. I see Rebecca move on through. They take my license. And they pull up my picture, and the guy's looking at me. He's looking at the picture, and he said, you're not Jennifer Costa. Our records don't have you. You don't match your face. Here, let me try it again. He did it four times. Nothing was matching. See, you got to understand, so many women were born again and touched in Boston. I had forgot to pray against retaliating spirits. And I'm standing in this big airport. Rebecca's going through, and she's looking back. Like she said, she was thinking, what y'all going to do with my mama? Don't be taking my mama off. And so he said, ma'am, I need you to stand back. And he wasn't talking nice. I said, yes, sir. I said, I promise you'd ask me. He said, ma'am, just stand back. So I stood back and just stood there, and I was waving at Rebecca and grinning. And I whispered a prayer. And I said, God, I bind every spirit of witchcraft that's coming against me today. And I asked you, God, to make a way, because I know who I am. And I had to stand there and stand, didn't I, Rebecca? Rebecca was already through all the lines, and she was waiting, and I was smiling, trying to put on a strong face like it's going to be all right. They're not taking me anywhere. And then all of a sudden, this gentleman came walking up, and he had a radiance to him. He said, so I hear you're having trouble here today. I said, I promise you I'm Jennifer Costell. And then he said, yeah, but we don't have records. He said, it's not showing up. Then he looked at me, and he was saying, smile the way you are on your driver's license. I'm thinking, I don't know how to smile that way. I'm just smiling, thinking, okay, what's going on here? Then all of a sudden he said, it's going to be all right. He took me by my hand. Come up here. And I took him by the hand. He said, listen, you're with me now. He said, let me walk you on into this line. I said, my picture not show up. He said, don't worry about your picture. He said, you with me now. And he put me right in the line. That was a case manager. that had showed up on my behalf that day. Because when he said, don't worry about it, you're with me now. I knew what he was saying, baby girl. An angel of the Most High God had showed up in that airport, and I was getting on that plane. And I told Rebecca, when I got on the other, I walked through security like, it's all right, I'm blessed to be here. Took my luggage, took my shoes off, got scanned, hands up in the air, thinking, get me up out of Boston. I'm getting out of Boston. I appreciate home security, but I don't want to get personal with them today. I want to go back to Wilmington. See, when your child needs something, God has sent an officer from heaven. When you need a breakthrough, God has sent an officer from heaven. When your debt ratio or your credit score doesn't add up, God has sent an officer from heaven to help you get what you're believing to get. And this story shows that we serve the God of great restoration. When I was ending the sermon in my mind, I heard very clearly Jeremiah 31:17. This is the New Living Translation. It says, but now this is what the Lord says, and I believe he's saying it to mothers today. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord. Your children will come again to their land, God is saying to you mothers today. Mothers of small children, train them up in the way of the Lord, Proverbs 22:6. Raise them in the Christian faith, and they will not depart from it when they are old. I love two presidents. I want to share with you distinctly what any single women in the house today. Not single women, single mothers. Any single mothers, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I love how President George Washington, one of the greatest presidents, he was raised by a single mother. And he honored his mother and said that she taught him honor. You have taught your children honor, and God said he is pleased with you single mothers today. And God is going to honor you, and you'll see your children raised to the heights that you have been promised by God Almighty that they were raised to, because you raised your children and you are raising your children to honor the Lord. I love the saying of Abraham Lincoln that says distinctly, he said, I remember my mother's prayers, for they are always follow me. They have clung to me all the days of my life. See, do not think that your prayers are not being heard by heaven. They're being heard by heaven, and the prayers that you have placed on your children, they're clinging to them. They can't get away from your prayers. They can't escape those prayers that you have put on them. Abraham Lincoln, all of his days, he honored his mother, and he said all those prayers cling to him. Don't be moved by how they're acting. Put some prayer on it and watch God let it cling to them and hold on to them, and they can't help but come back from the enemy's camp. Get ready, women of God. God loves his mothers, and he loves his people. I want everyone to stand and just bow your head. This is a sacred moment. Here. This is a sacred moment. Just bow your heads and rest in the anointing that is upon this house right now. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I will not leave this house without offering you the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. With all eyes closed right now, I just ask, if there's anyone here that you do not know Jesus, just put your hands in the air right now. Put your hands in the air. I'm looking all over the house right now. All over the house to make sure that we're all born again in this house today. Hallelujah. River of life, look at your neighbor. Say, we all saved in here today. We're all saved in here today. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray a corporate prayer upon every family in this house. Just put your hands up and receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have promised us in our word today. You have given us a covenant promise over our children. And all children that are in this house today, represented by their mother or their father, that do not know you, God, I am asking for their salvation. I bind the enemy and every lie that he has put in their head that God doesn't love them or they've gone too far. I break all generational curses in the name of Jesus based on Luke 10:19. And I call them back from the enemy's land, just like the scripture that you gave me this morning, God, of Jeremiah 31:17, that said the children represented in this house today, that they shall come back from the enemy's land. So I praise you in advance, God. I worship you in advance, God, on behalf of all your people gathered here today. Just like the Shunammite woman, she worshiped you, then she got her child back from the dead. We worship you, and the children are coming out of darkness. They are going to come alive to Jesus Christ. Lord, I apply the blood of Christ to everyone under the sound of my voice, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, those listening online and those in this house today. I ask that you touch every sick body. I come against every spirit of disease. I come against every generational disease. I come against every plot and the plan of the enemy to take any of the people of God out early. You cannot do that. I believe for Isaiah 53:5 that says, Isaiah 53:5 is upon you, that says 1 Peter 2:24 is upon you. And I speak healing. All pain must go. All migraines must go. All backaches must go. All swelling must go. Every assignment of the enemy, all negative words must go. And I thank you, God, for healing your people. As one with a daughter-in-law that is a surgeon, I thank you, you use doctors. I thank you, Luke was a doctor. And I asked you to get these people to the best doctors, God. Anoint every bit of medication. Anoint everything in surgery. Get preparation for their healing, God. And I thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, there's financial needs in this house today. You didn't have me give out 20s and 10s, God, to children for no reason. I believe surprise money is coming to the people of God. I believe you're rebuking the devourer for the tithers, and you are going to bless them and open the windows of heaven. God, I thank you for paying off mortgages. I thank you for paying off cars. I thank you for debt being demolished. I thank you, God, for blessing your people as they stay undercover. And they obey their pastor, and they do what you say in your word, God. I thank you that they will experience Luke 6:33-8 that says you're going to give them abundantly. You're going to give them so much, it's going to have to be pressed down. Their bank accounts are going to be full, and they're going to have to give it away because they got too much, God. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for promotions. I thank you for doing only what you can do. And God, as I've corporately prayed these prayers, bless their marriages, bless their children, bless their grandchildren, bless them coming in and bless them going out. Goodness and mercy following them all the days of their lives. I thank you for doing only what you can do, God. And we love you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I need you to shout like the walls have fallen down. I need you to shout like your children back in the house of God. I need you to shout like your needs have been met above and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for doing it, God. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, Mama Ina. Your people have been prayed over.